Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys for a brief intro. As if you tuned into the last episode, I had Paul back on with me. We did a quick precap for our event on the Mitten Golf Tour out at Quail Ridge this past weekend. And so, as promised, and as always, we jumped back in and did a quick recap for you guys. Talked about the course. We'll talk about how the round went for us, what was good, what was bad, what maybe you kind of could have done differently, and just kind of give you guys an overview of what Quail Ridge had to offer. But before I grab Paul and we get on with that kind of recap, a quick disclaimer. Our first floor recording studio we use, there is a second floor, and it's made of wood. And so there are people that walk around upstairs periodically. You might get a little bit of creaking throughout the podcast, but you can still hear us loud and clear. We're still talking golf. You just kind of might have a little bit of a distraction with some old creaky wood floors. But it doesn't take away from the content. So anyway, hold tight. I'm going to grab Paul, grab a quick ad, and then when we get back, we'll be talking more golf. All right, everybody, welcome back. Garrett and Paul back with you guys again to recap Quail Ridge Golf Club and the Mitten Golf Tour event that we played out there this past Sunday. So, again, Paul, I mean, hey, we were just here together, what, last Thursday, I think?
We were.
Yeah, welcome back, man. It's Tuesday now, so.
It's good to be back.
Always good to be back.
Yes.
But I guess, you know, I mean, we kind of... Obviously, we played the event on Sunday. We talked last Thursday, kind of talked over kind of what the course had to offer, and you didn't have a lot of memories of it. So I guess let's kind of start there. You rolled up on Sunday, took the long drive down the entrance into the gravel parking lot, and anything come back to you?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah, it's kind of strange. First off, I enjoyed the course. I think it was it's a nice track. But I can't believe I don't remember hardly any of those holes, and I know that I've played there, but
yeah,
good setup. We had fun on Sunday. I mean, we didn't play quite the way that we wanted to, but that's how it goes in golf sometimes, but it was a good track.
Yeah, yeah. Some days you have it, some days you don't, and Sunday was kind of one of those days where we both were kind of a little bit flat, but I mean, as far as the course goes, obviously, like you said, you kind of memory didn't really come back to you, but the course was impressive. I thought the course was in good shape.
It was, considering how long it's been since we've had rain.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. The greens were a little bit dewy in the morning, which mm-hmm. is expected when you have an 8 o'clock shotgun. And that threw us off a touch, but the greens were good, fairways were good. It's a nice track.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that kind of assessment. I was surprised at how soft some areas of the course were.
Yeah.
Fairways were spongier than I expected, mm-hmm. considering we haven't had rain in so long. So they've obviously been keeping up on the watering, which was fine because the course was green. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Greens were smooth. But you're right. The dew in the morning did take a long time to burn off. And we teed off at, what, 8 o'clock-ish, yep. give or take a few minutes. And what we started on 2B, so we played 2, 3, 4, 5, and I bet you 6 was probably the first
six
hole.
Was the first time.
That was the first green we had where there was no dew. And you hit a putt there on 6 that demonstrated the fact that there was no dew.
Yeah, it was a 15-foot putt that I hit 30 feet. It was really impressive.
It was slightly downhill, but that
it was
one,
terrible.
That one got away from you a little bit. And I guess, you know, before we can kind of talk course and game as we go, I guess. And so, because let's start right on 2B. So we kind of showed up. I got there at 7. You got there a little after me, hit some balls. A little bit of a downside. We were kind of hitting. They had us back hitting off the mats at the back of the range, which I didn't hit a ton of balls because of that. Just mats are bouncy. It's not all that much fun to hit off the mats when you got turf right in front of you.
Yeah. Same assessment. So before this, I got new wedges. So I actually was looking forward to trying to maybe dial those in a little bit on the range, just a quick little session, maybe if I got 15 minutes. But
yeah.
The bounces are a little bit different on these wedges, so I did not want to even attempt to hit them off the mat because prior experience with me, I bounce them, and then I scull the crap out of them. So I didn't even want that as a mental picture in my brain. So I didn't do much warming up. I probably hit maybe 10 golf balls.
Yeah.
I mean, you were out maybe 5 minutes I spent hit a few 8-irons, a couple 3-irons, and then I hit a drive and my tee flew out into the middle, like 20 yards ahead of me, and then I was too lazy to get another tee. So I was done after that. Hindsight, I probably should have hit a little bit more, but that's how it went for me.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, that was the thing about Quail, and that obviously I was really looking forward to showing you the top tracer range, because that was pretty, that's a really, really cool setup, and that would have been a ton of fun to utilize for a few minutes. But our game for the day was part ball striking, but not too bad in the ball striking sense, but we did not make the putts. And that's where, I mean, in a 2-man scramble, I mean, you guys, if you guys are listening out there and you played a Quail, I mean, whether you played well, played poorly, I mean, you got to make putts in a 2-man scramble to get any momentum and shoot a good score. And we were cold, man.
Yeah, I mean, it all started on 2. I mean, you actually hit a good putt there, but my drive went to the right and yours went up the left side, but in play, and the pin was back right. And if you've ever played there, there's a huge mound in the middle. So we had a tough time chipping. Mm-hmm. It went kind of down to the collection area where you had a 12, 14 foot putt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's a course that you got to play a couple times in order to understand some of the undulations and where to leave yourself. And we kept leaving ourselves in spots that we thought were okay, but once you get up there, they were not okay.
Yeah.
For us, or they made it a little bit more difficult than what we needed at that time. And, you know, and instead of having, I think we counted when we were out there, I think our first uphill putt was, what, 12 or 13, I think was our first uphill putt. Otherwise, everything was downhill, left to right putts.
Yeah, you're spot
or
on.
30, 40 foot putts.
Yeah, it was nuts, and because starting right on 2 there, like you said, I mean, you kind of left it out to the right, which was fine, because it actually left us the better angle.
Yeah.
But I was just greenside there, short left, and with like a 20-yard pitch shot, mm-hmm. and it was stupid because that ridge was so big. Yeah. I mean, it left
you
us
couldn't get
no
it
chance.
Close.
And I think overall, I think the course setup was challenging for a 2-man scramble. Yeah. I thought there were some really, really tough pins, and it was fair, but they were difficult. And the tees were up. We played a lot of the blue tees from kind of white tee yardages, which I thought made it fun. But I also thought it brought more trouble into play than I had expected. And so you kind of had to be a little more strategic. And we talked strategy a little bit in the pre-cap, but again, we weren't going to go out there and put irons on top of irons. So no. We tried our best to ham and egg it. But I mean, we birdied the first hole. So we were one under through the first, and that was cool.
The only putt that we made.
The only putt we made.
You made it.
The only putt that was made outside of about 4 feet.
Yep,
I would venture to guess.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, we had a great spot to start going from 2 to 3. I mean, 3 being the par 5 and having to tease up a little bit. You kind of did us a solid by taking one for the team and putting, what would you hit it on? 3-iron?
I hit a 3-iron to middle of the fairway. I mean, we would have had a long, long shot in like 240, 250-ish into the green, but safe.
You were right by that 250 post, that's right. And thankfully, I mean, that opened me up to try and bomb one and cover. There's that hazard, that creek that kind of ran through on an angle. And thankfully, the carts had GPS, which was dynamite, mm-hmm. because
helped out a lot.
That gave us a ton of opportunity to sit there and, hey, what, click around. What does it take to mm-hmm. cover this hazard or cover this bunker, things like that? And it was, I mean, early in the round, but I figured, what the heck? I mean, you're in play. There's no sense in hitting another 3-iron out there, so we might as well try and jump on a driver. So we ended up having 150. We were right next to the 150 plate, and with the back pin, I think it was, what, like 162 into that par 5, which was sweet. And even though we both hit 8-irons onto the left side of the green and couldn't make the eagle putt.
No. But we had a tap-in birdie.
So, I mean, 2 under through 2 was fine, but that was kind of the – I mean, we got off to a good start. And that's why I was thinking about it over the weekend, because we haven't really talked about it since Sunday. Or not over the weekend, but I was thinking about it yesterday, so Monday. And what was next? The par 3?
Yeah. We parred that.
Yeah, the par 3, we parred that, but we talked about the par 3s. I mean, you're going to par 50% of them at least. So.
And we had 2 good shots in there. I mean, I think mine was close to 20 feet front of the green. Yours was back probably 15 feet. But just once again, we actually both hit really good putts there, and you left yours just short, and mine carried.
That was a crazy one, because I remember that, because the dew was, with the dew still being on the green, I could see your line spot on, and you missed just to the right. And somehow, I took a line about 2 inches inside yours, and somehow also still missed to the right.
Yeah.
Which blew my mind. I did not expect that whatsoever.
But it was a par. I mean, it's fine. It's par three.
Yeah. And but that kind of summed up the day. I mean, we both just hit golf shots, you know.
There were nothing crazy. I mean, I had one good shot on, what was the last par three? Was it 15? It was 15, the one that I hit close. That was it. Otherwise, we didn't really have any good shots, like crazy good shots.
No, and whether it was par threes, par fours, approaches on par fives, I felt like we had a lot of just like 20 footers, 20, 15 feet, 20 feet in that range. But all right, so 200 through three, that's fine. Heading to the par five. And this was the cool hole, the horseshoe par five. Yeah. And cool, but quirky, obviously. We talked about this before the round, kind of what to do. And playing from the white tee box, I mean, shoot, it was only on the card, it was 478. So, I mean, we could butt off a lot more than we thought. So we both ended up hitting driver.
Yeah.
And
I sliced the crap out of mine, and it turned out really good.
Yours was better. Yours was better than mine. You put us up there with what? Okay, so we have another par five. And what did we have in there? Like
150 again.
Yeah, 150 yards.
We hit 9 irons or wedges.
Yep, that's right. So, again, kind of a gravy start for us, having two par fives in the first four holes and having 9 iron in. So, I mean, another easy birdie, 3 under through 4. So, at that point, we're in the Golf Genius app. I'm putting the scores in, and we're cruising right on par with everybody else. And then we get to 6, and I think 6 was at least the beginning of a little bit of a stall for us, because this is kind of where I touched on the fact that those tees were up. And with the tees being up on 6, it brought all those trees into play on the left. And that got you a little bit.
That got me, yeah. I hit my tee shot exactly where I wanted to, aim-wise, which I aimed at those trees, thinking I was going to play a slight fade, which is what I'd been playing. And I hit it dead straight, if not with a little hook, and it went right into the trees, which applied pressure on you because you're kind of sitting there like, do I do this? Do I go for it? And you ended up laying up, which I think is probably the smart play, but it left us 165 in.
160, 165, yeah. In a two-man scramble, it was just, I wish I had, I don't know, more. I wish I felt more confident and aggressive off that tee, because hitting a 4-iron in a two-man scramble into a fairway, just playing to the fat part and leaving yourself 160 yards was too conservative, I think.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of times when I was just kind of thinking back that, man, I should have been a little more bold, and that was one of them. Because obviously I knew we weren't going to make worse than par by hitting that iron off the tee, but it didn't give us an opportunity to make birdie and keep any momentum going.
No.
So kind of a flat par on 6, and then 7, the par four, 7th. Felt like a par 3.
It did, yeah.
we played it like a par 3, which was fun. From the white tees, it was only 312, and just a little dogleg right, and you put one out there and play for us, left us probably, what, maybe like 60 or so yards short left of the green, which was a great angle to kind of come in at. So I ended up hitting driver, and this was a deceiving one because I thought I left it. I thought I leaked it too far right.
You did.
I definitely thought, and it should have been too far right. Yeah. The fact that it ended up like covering the pond and ending up on the green that took me by surprise, because I thought for sure we were just going to be cruising up to your ball and taking that pitch shot, because I was going to be in the pond. It was a nice surprise until we got up there and looked at the putt, and we were just like, how are we going to two putt this?
Yeah. So we haven't talked about it yet, but I think we made some bad decisions strategically. We both had new putters in, so when we have the third, that was probably a 50 foot putt at least, all of that.
Yeah,
I struggled with lag putting all day, so I'm going from a blade putter to a mallet putter, and I could not get a good feel at all. And it seemed like we had a lot of 20-25 foot putts, and once the dew kind of wore off, it changed a little bit. And if you've played out there before, some of the greens, They have some movement to them, for sure. And this was one of those putts coming from the right side, going all the way to the left. You had to go up a hill, And then the pin was just sitting just on top of the hill. And if you went past it, it would almost roll off the green 10, 12 feet, which is what I did.
Yeah, that was a pretty dirty hole location from where we were, at least from where we were putting.
From where we were.
I think if you played it a little differently. But this was a hole we talked about in the pre-cap as being a potential drivable par four and kind of a pretty significant hole in the round. And we ended up driving it. And obviously, I looked at the results and I saw somebody did make a 2 on 7. So the 2 did end up skinning for $560-something.
Nice.
That was a good payday for those guys, and it was just cool to have an opportunity at the 2 because I kind of figured that might happen. But good birdie there, so we're still kind of cruising along, but it took a good 2-putt to get that one. And then 8, I think, was really where all of a sudden we got just stalled hard.
Yeah, it was strange because, I mean, you've talked about the tees being pushed up a little bit, so I hit first, and there's a bunker on the left side that I thought we shot at to carry. I could have sworn we shot 275 or 280 to carry. So I felt comfortable just going at that bunker. It's a little bit uphill. I was like, if I reach the bunker, great. That's what my target line is going to be, and I'm going to fade one off. Well, I hit one dead straight, and it carried the bunker, and it went into the woods past. Mm-hmm. And once again, it kind of pushed you into a place where I thought my tee shot was fine, and it kind of made you think a little bit, make you a little bit hesitant on what you wanted to do, because you should hit driver off that, but you don't like that view, so you hit iron.
Yeah, I worried about it. When I saw your ball bounce once and that was it,
I thought it would be fine.
I was a little nervous from just past experiences playing there, knowing that bunker hugs the cart path, and then the cart path hugs the tree line, and then the tree line is no good. So I ended up just kind of ripping a 3-iron out there, which was still fine because it left us 130 yards with a front hole location, 126 yards or something like that. But
that was a dirty pin location,
dude,
too.
Dude, that was. It was just cozy on that front edge. And we both kind of just fell victim to the spongy fairway there. Yeah. It was super soggy.
It was 130. We were 130 out. I thought I hit a pretty good 52, and it was 10 yards short.
Yeah.
But what made me feel a little bit better about it is the group that we played with, they hit a great shot in there. They're probably 5 or 6 feet on the left side of the pin. Mm-hmm. Great birdie opportunity. But that pin was on such a wicked...
Oh, the ridge was
that
nuts.
That ridge was nuts. And so they missed that putt. It didn't make me feel better, but also at the same time, it was just a tough pin.
It was because, if you were pin high left, like those guys had, like you said, 6 feet for birdie, but you're putting right back towards the false front. And if you hit it too hard, you're rolling right back off the front edge of the green. So, I mean, it wasn't even one that you could really be too aggressive with. But for both of us to leave it short, I just flat out fatted mine. Yeah. I took that little bit extra club and just chunked it. So that was disappointing. And so par on 8, go to 9, long par 3. Again, just kind of knowing par is a good score. We took my shot, which was like 40 feet.
30 plus feet, yeah.
We were both in that range, and I was pin high, so I had just kind of a little bit of a bender, and yours was pretty significant uphill, so we didn't want to deal with the speed of that. So anyway, 2-putt par on 9, all right, fine, what are we at that point? Like 4 under?
Yeah,
4
feeling
under.
Pretty good.
4 under, not bad through 8 holes. I mean, we kind of got flat there on 8 and 9, but we're going to the par 5 tenth. So, I mean, we're ready to get back on the wagon.
Yeah, 10 did not go that well for us.
10 was a sad, sad par 5.
That hole probably took us 30 minutes to play at least.
Oh, I know.
And it wasn't because of anybody else being in our way. It was because of us.
Yeah, I've never felt like I've worked so hard on a par 5 in a two-man scramble. Because there's so much room there to the left. And, you know, looking at the card right now that we've got up in front of us, like, and I knew this from my experience playing in the West Michigan Am, is the play is left. There's a bunker there. Tees were up. You can carry the bunker, run it down the hill. It's an easy, I'm not going to say easy, but it is definitely a two-shot par 5 if you can put the ball down the left side of the fairway. But those tee boxes, they aim you right.
Yeah.
And that got me in the West Michigan Am last year, even though I just kind of – I laid back because I didn't want to bring the trees into play, but – hit an iron last year, but this year, scramble, driver, teaser up, be aggressive. and we both pump it right.
Yep.
Into the woods.
Yep.
And that was just, after watching, you hit first, you kind of put yours in there, and yours just bounced into the edge, so yeah. It was fine. And we were able to get a club on it and play it, but
we had to punch out.
Yeah, but I had,
that's how bad it was.
I had no business even just, I just tried to just hit my normal high draw and just pushed it and just smoked it into the forest. And I'm like, oh, cool. Now we've got no chance on a scoreable hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, we punch out and then had, what, 140 into that flag, which was fine. We're still looking at a good spot, but this was that kind of segmented four quadrant green we talked about with that. And they shoved that pin in the back left corner, or back right corner. Back left would have been worse. That's where, although that's where my ball ended up. So it wouldn't have been that bad. But I couldn't believe your ball stayed on that ridge.
Yeah, so we were 140 out, I think is what we said. So I hit, there was a tree in the background that I wanted to go after, and I hit it right at it, and it landed literally on the top of the quadrant, and it went forward like 4 feet and stopped on the ridge.
Yeah.
And I thought that going up there, when we obviously we had to hit that putt, we both tapped our putts and they went past the hole. And somehow my ball stayed up on that ridge. I have no idea how that happened yet.
When we walked up there and saw that, I didn't know how it stayed there. And then when we marked it, I didn't know if I was going to be able to set my ball down and have it stay there. It was that significant of a slope. And I'm thinking, how did we end up here? Because this, every way, shape, and form, this ball should have funneled right down to the hole.
But that was just kind of how the day went for us, where a couple of breaks here and there could have changed things. And that's just, that's how it goes in golf. But that was one of the ones that kind of stuck out to me where that probably should have funneled down a touch more. Because I don't spin the ball enough, so it's not like it literally hit the downslope and stayed on the slope.
There.
Which was crazy.
That was crazy. And that was kind of a, that hole definitely kind of sucked the wind out of our sails hard, because going to 11, 12, 13, we had talked about that in the pre-cap podcast last week, just about how if there's a place on Quill that could potentially stall your round, it's 11, 12, and 13. Mm-hmm. That's a tough stretch of holes, potentially, regardless of how you're hitting it. Our problem was that we stalled on 8. So we were already pre-stalled before we got to the stall.
We did.
And didn't help us.
We definitely did.
But, 11, you hit a great tee shot out there, up the right side, and left us, what, a buck 10?
We were
10?
Something 106.
Like that. Yeah, something close. We flipped some wedges up there.
And not bad wedges either, but once again, behind the hole with the downhill putt that we didn't know what it did.
Yeah.
We both looked over it, and I was like, I think it's left to right. And you were like, I think it's right to left. And so we concluded to kind of do our own thing, I guess, and it didn't work.
No. And that was tough because we both only had probably 15 feet. They were good wedge shots, but I was past the hole. You were pin high, and where that pin was cut, pin high left you a putt that was going to break like
a ton,
a foot and a half, 2 feet.
Yeah.
And so it's either a 2 foot slider or a downhiller. And we opted for the downhill straight-ish looking putt, and no commitment to, at least I couldn't commit to a line. So it was a sad effort there. But
so we parred it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. 2-putt par.
Yep. There we go.
2-putt par, heading to 12. So the stall continues, riding the par train for 4 holes in a row. Heading to 12, this was the hole that I told you that I didn't like. And you said you did like. And did you still feel that way when you got to the
tee box?
No, I
got up on the tee, and I hated how it looked, because it's much more narrow than it looks. Well, in person, it's much more narrow than what it looks online. So, I'm looking at it again. I'm like, oh, I love this hole. But I remember being a little nervous up there. It's really tight. And so I play a cut. So I was going to play it off the left side. But everything in this fairway funnels right to left hard. So, I hit my tee shot. And I hit a really good tee shot. And it stayed on the left side. And it took a kick left. And thankfully, it stayed in the fairway. But we couldn't see it initially. So you hit an iron. And you hit a right to left 4-iron, 3-iron, whatever you ended up hitting, which landed on the right middle of the fairway and funneled all the way off the fairway, all the way off into the rough. So looking back on it, the view that I have now looks great, But I was terrified on that tee shot. I did not like that tee shot either.
And I think what didn't help is that fairway slopes so significantly right to left, but then the wind was blowing right to left as well. And so even though you tried to kind of squeeze the cut up there, that wind was not letting it happen. No. And so you just kind of hugged that left side, and it thankfully stayed in play. But even if it didn't, that was kind of funny because the guys we played with were a couple of cool dudes, and I just got a kick out of the guy when I went back to the bag and pulled iron. And that other guy that we were playing with goes, you know, you could probably just hit that past my driver anyway, so you might as well hit it.
Which is true.
And he wasn't wrong. I did kind of burn that 3-iron out there, mm-hmm. probably 15, 20 yards past his driver. But he was up in the flat, so he was in a better spot than I was anyway. And it's all about position.
Yep.
But, hey, anyway, we had about 110 yards into this one and wedged up there and two-putted. So.
Yeah, 15. That was one of the putts that I thought I made.
Yeah.
Like, about 3 feet away from it, it looked perfect. And then right at the end, there was a snap to the left that we didn't see. We knew it was going to move to the left, mm-hmm. but the amount that it did was astronomical for a putt of that length.
It was nuts. And you kind of mentioned it earlier in the podcast today, is that this was our first uphill putt since hole three, mm-hmm. since the par 5 third, which was our second hole. So we went a span of like 7 holes mm-hmm. without an uphill putt. So finally we get one, we try and be aggressive with it, and it's still snaps off at the end, and we end up 2-putting for par. So the streak continues, heading to 13, which was a hole where at this point we're just like, cool, we've rattled off like 5-6 pars in a row, 5 pars in a row at this point.
Pretty deflated, yeah.
So this is a hole where you should not hit driver, but you did.
I did, yeah. And I liked the way that it looked on the tee, and I hit a really good drive, and what were we, 40 yards out?
Yeah.
But the neck of it literally is 15 yards wide, maybe?
Dude, it's nuts, yeah.
I would never hit driver again. It's a stupid play.
Yeah, I was just grateful that you were kind of on a streak after, on 11, 12, and 13, you kind of hit some really, mm-hmm. really laser straight tee shots. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully you were able to thread that needle and put us up there, which opened me up to hit driver too, but I ended up yanking it left into the hazard anyway, so it didn't do us any favors.
But we were safe.
And then, hey, 40-yard pitch shot into a par 4. If that's not a green light, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we're thinking birdie. I mean, we both hit, from where we were, I thought our chip shots would funnel to the right,
yeah.
and they actually ended up funneling to the left, and mm-hmm. both of ours did. And I was pin high on my 10 feet maybe?
If that. 8 feet maybe.
And I hit a good putt there too, and it literally, we thought left mm-hmm. edge for the putt. I hit it left edge, and it never moved at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then yours moved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, just the tap-in par.
That was kind of, again, just the course for us, and like you've already alluded to. I mean, we, one, didn't put ourselves in primo position, and two, just some of those pins were in spots where it was tough, because you're right, that pitch shot, every aspect of that pitch looked like it was going to land on the green, kick right and funnel right and be below the hole with an uphill putt. Both of ours catch the spine, run left, and we're mm-hmm. both putting from there, where you can't be super aggressive because the pin was on the side of the ridge there. And yeah, it's just like another 2-putt par, just standard operating procedure for that moment. Mm-hmm. And 14 though was another opportunity where we thought we were gonna be able to kind of get off the par train and make hay here, but
we didn't.
I didn't want to drop that too early, but we just didn't. It didn't happen. You took the conservative route.
Yep.
Took the iron out over the bunker, which was the smart play, because I tried encouraging you to hit driver a little bit, but like you said, it's the elevation.
It wasn't going
to
work.
You got to hit it. You got to get that ball up to cover those trees on the left.
So my ball flight on my driver is too low to carry those trees. And unless I play it way up in my stance, I could maybe try and force it. But then at that point, I don't even know where it's going to go. So I figured, you have a right to left ball flight. I'm just going to hit an iron out there, clear the bunker, and we can at least be aggressive on our second shot, hopefully.
Yeah. And I was super excited about this tee shot, because I finally hit the middle of the face on 13, just pulled it slightly, and it drew into the hazard there. But I thought, man, if I hit that same shot that I just hit on 13 on 14, we're going to potentially be greenside or even on. But just one thing after another just wasn't going my way, anyway, off the tee, and I ended up toe hooking it into the trees, so I'm out of play. So we're
good thing I hit iron.
Good thing you hit iron. But again, we're back on a 364-yard par 4, and we're hitting
8 iron
into the green. We had 160 yards into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, again, not taking advantage of...
We didn't... I hit a decent shot there that was right at the stick.
Yeah.
And it probably landed 6 or 7 feet short of the stick,
mm-hmm.
and spun back probably close to 12 feet with an 8 iron,
yeah.
downwind, kind of.
Yep. At this point, we switched the strategy.
Yeah, we did.
This is what all of a sudden I started to kind of lead off just because I was getting frustrated and things weren't going well. So I was glad because I hit 9 iron and on the green, but just mm-hmm. middle of the green to that back pin. So that kind of gave you the confidence to go with 8.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that shot ripped back like it did.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
I don't spin it that much, and this thing was right at the stick. And I was pretty happy. I thought it was going to land right next to it. And it landed like 6-7 feet short probably, and
yeah.
then spun back 10+ feet.
Yeah, we were back in the 15 to 18 foot range again, mm-hmm. putting back up the hill. And again, should have been an okay putt, but at this point in the round, we're ripping off 6 straight pars and haven't made a putt.
Yeah.
And the confidence was pretty low at this point. So
I hit a good putt there too.
You did.
And I thought it was going to go in, and it just peeled off at the end again.
Yeah.
So yeah. it wasn't going to fall.
Yeah, 2 putts for our 7th consecutive par in
yep.
the two-man scramble.
Yep.
But, hey, you broke the seal on 15.
I did. I'm still curious to see how close. So, obviously, we did closest to in skins. I hit, this is a 200-yard, we were playing, what, 195 when we played, or 194?
Yeah, something in that range.
I hit a 6-iron probably to 2 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe 3.
Super cozy.
Like, right on it.
Yeah.
And it was going to be closest to, so I thought, out of this whole thing, maybe we could at least get some money. So I was
yeah.
excited about that.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to putt it. That's how upset I was about putting. So I didn't need a solo too. So I wanted Garrett to make the putt instead of me.
Thank
but you. I want to know how close, whoever beat me on that, I want to know how close they were.
I do too, because that was super cozy. And thankfully
yeah.
I was confident enough in the 2-footer to
yeah.
just knock it in. And, but, I mean, shoot, man, this late in the round, and at this point, we only had 3-4 holes left,
yeah.
16, 17, 18,
yeah.
and 1. Yeah, so I mean, we're pretty late in the round, and that close to pin was full. I mean, they had already filled the list, and
yeah.
then you were at the very bottom. And so there's only another probably handful of groups to come through.
If not, yeah.
I cannot believe that somebody knocked it in there inside of that 2-foot range, because from two bills, 190, I mean, that's a golf shot.
Yeah, yeah, I was surprised.
But hey, we're off the par train,
yep.
so
got a birdie.
So what do we at now? 5 under, I think. Yeah,
yep.
5 under. All right.
Yeah.
And on to 16.
We got a birdie, so that's good.
We got a birdie. Our first birdie of the back 9.
Yep.
So it came on a par 3, longest one on the course.
Mm-hmm.
But 16, we tried to keep it rolling too, because you hit a shot up there, and although it ended up into the fairway bunker on the
yeah.
right, but that gave me the opportunity to try and do my kind of thing and hit the high draw over the corner. And I got lucky here, man. I mean, I quit watching it halfway in flight, because I again hit another toe ball, somehow some way carried those pine trees
yeah.
on the left and left us about another 40 yard pitch
mm-hmm.
shot, but from the worst possible angle.
Yeah, there's no room at all with the left pin and
yeah.
us being on the left side.
That left pin was
a tough shot.
That left pin was your fairway bunker shot was probably the better play, like not from a strategy standpoint, but it definitely opened the green up. But in a 2-man scramble, you don't want to hit a 100-yard fairway bunker shot.
No,
I didn't want to. That's not
a chance.
Easy shot, and we hadn't obviously hit out of the sand all day. So I mean, who knows what could have happened?
Yeah.
So we might as well try and hit a 40-yard flop shot, and yours ended up good.
Yeah, I mean, probably 10-12 feet again.
Yeah, 10-12 feet.
Ish.
But just, again, story of the day, 2-putt par. Couldn't capitalize. So 3 holes to go. We're sitting at 5 under, going to another par 3 where we, again, proceed to not do anything spectacular and
no.
leave ourselves about 25 feet for birdie.
Yep, right on top of each other. You were 5 feet closer than me.
Yeah. Yep. So you were just a little bit back to the right, and I was a little bit up into the left, and we'll take another two putt par. Go to, at this point, we're on now going to 18. We're just looking forward to having some fun on 18. It's a long drive hole. It's like, let's just kind of muscle up and rip one. And they had the tees super far up again. Yeah. I was shocked. It was up at the white tee marker, 525, and you hit a good drive just up there,
the right.
Up in the right rough, and that was fine. So I was pretty stoked for the long drive hole because I'd hit some pretty good tee shots early in the round that were kind of bombs, and so I was pretty stoked. And anyway, just really let one rip, and my ball literally was what, like 8 inches from its pitch mark.
Yeah, it spun back.
It spun back. Yeah. So I'm like, gosh dang, long drive hole, you don't want to be hitting into a fairway that spins back.
Yeah.
I hit the ball high, I get that, but at the same time it was smoked. And anyway, the GPS in the cart, we pull up there, and it was 292 yards of carry, which was for me awesome, but that long drive marker was like 40 yards ahead of me.
It was so far ahead of you.
It was at least 40
yards. So far ahead. And you hit a really good drive, and I hit a decent drive, and it was, you probably outdrove me by 10 or 15 yards, roughly.
Yeah.
And my drive was fine. This drive was 50-plus yards ahead of where I was.
I didn't look at who ended up getting
either.
The long drive, but they're an absolute animal. Because,
kudos to them.
Yes, that was an impressive tee shot. But either way, I mean, we're on a par 5, and I hit – what'd you hit? I hit 4-iron into that green.
I hit 3-iron into the green.
We had 220-ish yards,
yeah.
And so I smoked a 4 and yanked it left, so I was left of the green in the rough, and you just hit a laser in there.
So maybe that makes more sense.
That does make more sense.
Sorry, we're calling an audible here.
Yeah.
I was curious on the long drive, so I pulled up the email, Kylie Hilligan.
Yeah.
Man.
There were, well,
because that's a great drive.
Well, there were women.
Yeah.
Women played. I didn't
that's
know
awesome.
Long drive was going to be open to men and women.
That's
so
awesome.
You're right. That is just mad props to Kylie, because that's like a significant advantage. But however, I mean,
that's a
freaking bomb either way, because those red tees weren't like, those red tees weren't that much further up.
No,
so,
no, that's a big drive.
That's a big drive. So anyway, mad props to that. But you laced that 3-iron in there, and
that was probably my best shot of the day. I mean,
I agree.
We were 220, 230-ish, and what'd we end up being? We were 12, 15 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe a touch more than that again.
Yep.
But once again, kind of a dirty pin location where if you get it past the actual pin from where we were, it was downhill, you can roll off the front of the green.
Yeah.
Or 10, 12 feet by.
It was literally stuck on that front right corner just over the bunker, and there was probably what, like 8 feet of green between that hole
maybe,
and the bunker, maybe 8 feet. And on top of that, it's kind of again that false ridge. So once we literally had to lag a 12-foot eagle putt guarantee a birdie, so we didn't
we
have
did.
A 6-foot comebacker, because that was crazy. And did you see eagle skinned?
Yeah.
18? Yeah, so eagle skinned. And that's a great eagle, and because that was not an easy hole location. But, hey, we made birdies, so 2-under on the back nine.
Boom.
Strong. And 6-under on the day. Then we go to hole one, our finishing hole. I think we were both kind of gassed at this point. I don't know about you, but it was a hot and humid day. So
I was
definitely kind of starting to feel the fatigue coming down the stretch a bit. But going to one, you hit a good tee shot. We ended up again, but
30 yards out,
30 maybe. Yards short left of the green,
40 yards ish.
But again, to just kind of echo the day at Quail for us, and it was 40 yards of short-sided doom.
The pin was,
there's no chance,
front middle, front leftish.
Yeah.
And my tee shot carried the bunker on the left, and we were just in the rough, but we had, I think it was 40 yards ish.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to get it close, and there's a little bit of a false front just in front of the green, and I landed mine probably a foot or two on the green, and it rolled 12 feet by.
At least 12 feet by. We had every bit of 12 to...
Just one of those things,
15,
just not a chance.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was just... And then I tried to get cute and bounce it on and left it short, so
good.
We're sure as heck not going to take that. So that's fine. 6-under, we'll 2-putt for par and just call it a day.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
what we did.
not the round that we hoped for, not what we were expecting, but it's just one of those days where it's like neither of us hit great shots. We both just kind of hit okay shots,
yeah.
And we never really got into too much trouble besides 10, but we just never made any putts.
Nope.
And so, I don't know, I learned a valuable lesson, and that's don't put a new putter in the bag.
Yeah.
Literally
both.
Yeah, right before an event like
yes.
this.
I liked it from, you know, all the tap-in pars that we had. I didn't miss any of those, so mm-hmm. that was good. But anything outside of 10, 12 feet, we just
yeah.
couldn't do it. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and I went back and forth between, even right before the round, I had both the Spider X and the Spider Mini in the bag, and I talked about which one I was going to play. And I put the Mini back in the truck before with mm-hmm. the round, so I went to the Spider X, committed to it, and I think that was the dumbest decision that I could have made, because there's too many differences. The Spider X was too different from what I normally putt with, and mm-hmm. especially in the length, we talked like going from a 34-inch putter to a 35, and you kind of cued into that.
That was late in the round.
Back on 12, you're like, man, you look like you're standing further from the ball than usual. And sure, I mean, 35-inch putter will do that to you. That one extra inch does make a significant difference in all kinds of stuff. Eye line, just everything in a dress. So that was dumb. That was my bad. I felt really bad for making a dumb decision like that.
But it was just one of those, like, I keep saying it, and we keep saying it, but it's a course I think you got to play a couple times to kind of know where you should or shouldn't be, which mm-hmm. can be the case with a lot of courses, but
yeah.
a lot of the shots that we had where we thought we hit decent shots
mm-hmm.
did not turn out like we thought that they could.
Yeah.
And putts too, for that matter. There's some nuances in those greens that I think you need to play a couple times to kind of get a feel for this is where you should do, this is where you should be. You know, this putt actually looks like it's left or right, but
mm-hmm.
you got to follow this type of eye line or eyesight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
just a few things like that.
Did you ever feel like we over-strategized?
I feel like we did.
I thought too.
What hole was it that I hit that ball mark? What hole was that on the putt?
Oh, man.
But that, like, summed up. I mean, we talked about it shortly after.
That was midway through the back nine, yeah. Somewhere back on the...
That was 14, or was it 16?
Might have been...
It was 16.
16, yeah, it was 16, you're right.
Where there was a ball mark out there that we were strategizing towards hitting, and I nailed the ball mark, and it popped straight up in the air, and ended up being 2 feet short right on line.
Yeah, dead center short.
It just kind of summed up what we had done
yeah.
in general, where we strategized like crazy, but we missed the stupid ball mark that we should have fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our mark mm-hmm. that we were trying to hit.
Yeah.
And we didn't even fix it.
We didn't even fix it. That was kind of lazy.
And you thought about it, and I didn't think that I would actually hit it because I had been putting so terrible, and I nailed it, and that thing popped right up.
Yeah.
And we got done with that, and we're like, yeah, that kind of sums up our day right now. Like
mm-hmm.
We've trying to figure out every single angle, and then we miss one important detail that we should have easily covered.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even have to think about it, and
nope.
we just didn't cover it.
Nope. It was kind of a little bit of laziness
yeah.
and then just kind of over-strategizing a few things. But, I mean, overall, like you said, I mean, fun event, fun day,
beautiful
weather, great golf course. I mean, yeah. I would absolutely play at Quail again. It'd be a ton of fun in a scramble or just by myself. If we went out there together and just teed it up, it'd be a ton of fun.
It's a tough course.
It is a tough course. I'd love to play it back a little further just because it kind of, in my opinion, opens you up off the tee a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we finished at 6, and in the pre-cap we were guessing, you said 10 would get the W. I was guessing 12. I wanted to shoot for 12, so we came well short of what I was
mm-hmm.
targeting for us. But the winners, man, 14 under par.
I don't know how they did it. That's incredible. Very good.
It was very impressive because I didn't think the next best team was 11. So there was a 3-shot win
yeah,
for those guys at 14. And I knew one of the guys that was on that 2-man team that got to 14 under. And he's a good player. He's just steady, straight, doesn't hit the ball far, but he just plays consistent golf. He's a good ball striker with his irons, and he makes putts. And that's the name of the game. So I wouldn't have seen 14 under, but hey, they got it done. So mad props to them. And moving forward, man, I mean, we kind of talked a little bit in text message after the event, but like I was a little salty on how we finished our Mitten Golf Tour experience.
I was not a fan
so,
of how we played. Like the whole event was great. And we
yeah.
just, like you said, we were expecting to do 10, maybe 12 under, and it just didn't happen. And everybody has those days out there.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't vibe off each other. We couldn't ham and egg anything. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I wanted to be more in the thick things coming down the stretch. Yeah. But thankfully, I mean, we finished slightly in the money. We do have a $50 off our next entry. And so we can't do Pilgrim's Run because that's coming up. But there is one final event on the calendar.
I think we'll be back.
Pigeon Creek. You think we'll be back?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
I think we should do it too. October 4th, Pigeon Creek. Two-man scramble. I think that'd be a ton of fun. Wrap the season up. It's going to be a little bit of fall golf. It'd be cool, comfortable, and hopefully Pigeon not too breezy, even though it's always breezy. Mm-hmm. So, but maybe you heard it here first. Maybe not. We'll see. I do strongly think we'll play Pigeon Creek in a few weeks. Well, a month, I guess, now. Yeah. It's only August.
Yeah. So I feel comfortable doing that. I think we should.
Cool. I like that. So we'll get back out here. We'll do a pre-cap. We'll do a recap. We'll talk Pigeon Creek when the time comes. But until then, I'm taking a little break, man. Well, I guess I'm subbing in league tonight, so I'm not taking that long of a break.
Taking a break, all right.
I just don't have any I don't have any competitive golf on the counter. I'm subbing in league tonight. I'm playing on Friday evening with a couple of guys out at Moss Ridge. So nothing crazy. No more tournaments. And so if we sign up for Pigeon, that'll be it, man. I've got nothing else on the calendar. So
okay, cool.
Casual golf from here to the house. All right.
Yeah, maybe that's good.
Yeah, yeah. I do think I'm gonna go cut down that Spider X tomorrow though. I might drop that down to 34. It's either cut it down to 34 or sell it. So we'll see what happens, but. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. Sorry we couldn't report back with kind of a more exciting round of golf at Quail Ridge. But, again, great golf course, great event, and looking forward to getting back out on the Mitten Tour at Pigeon Creek in October. So until then, we'll catch up with you guys soon.